You're listening to Caffeine and Chaos, a podcast for moms by a mom who's just taking it one day and one cup of coffee at a time. So come grab that cup of coffee, sit back, relax, and come join me. Good morning. Y'all are joining me during my morning clean. It's taking place this morning a lot later than normal. I am finding, maybe this is just me. Maybe I should be more concerned. But I'm finding that I have at least one day a week where I wake up and I am just super tired. Like, to the point of where, like, coffee isn't gonna cut it. And so I end up sending Easton off to school with Tyler, and I give the kids a tablet and put Parker down for a nap in the mornings at, like, 8 and go back to sleep for a little bit in order to be able to function. Happened last week, happened this week. Maybe, honestly, this is just motherhood catching up with me. Yesterday, I cleaned our entire house top to bottom. So that could also be it. But this morning, I'm just doing a quick cleanup around the house before we took Wyatt to school. Wyatt did not have school yesterday, and it was actually really nice. I'm so thankful that he's going to school and that he's in preschool. I won't lie. And maybe this is because I also have a child in private school, and I feel like they're actually learning things. And it's very interesting to see the stark difference between public school and private school. My kindergartner is learning cursive, and my preschooler is making graphs about the age of kids in his class, and I don't know. But I also don't know what to expect. I don't know what my expectations should be at this point for anything, so I don't know. That's where I am. Maybe if you're a preschool mom, you can give me some insight to what I should be expecting here, because you're confused. Anyway, it is Thursday. We are so close to the weekend. Let me tell you about my little weekend victory dance over here. So I'm a baker. That's what I do on the side to make money for our family. So my weekends are pretty typically full with orders. And I had an order on my calendar for this weekend. And so I have had it in the background. I'm like, okay, you know, Thursday I'm going to go get supplies for the customer's order. So yesterday I'm making my list, writing everything out, getting everything prepped, and I'm searching for this customer's order system, and I cannot find them anywhere. And I'm literally like, okay, look, I know I've been really forgetful lately, and I know that my brain has not been functioning the way that it should be, but like, I've never lost a customer's order form before. I'm very distraught about it. Finally found her name on my messenger. I'm going back looking for it and realized that she never paid her deposit, which means that she never placed an order. And so I was like, oh, I guess I didn't have it. Which was so nice, because I've been feeling a little bit burnt out lately. Not necessarily like I could just embrace the time with the kids and my husband and not feel tied down to work. So that was my surprise. So we get to do that this weekend. Just spend time together. We have a couple of birthday parties. My kids got invited to their first birthday parties this school year. I'm a little bit excited about that. Trying to sort through my social anxiety about attending these birthday parties with parents I don't know. But, you know. But. So, that is what we are doing. My children. Okay, today I want to share with you about the third session. So the third session at this ladies' conference, they did split sessions, which means that they had four different ones to choose from. So they had a singles and teens one. And they had one for ministry, which was taught by Jordan, who was the girl who spoke the first session. I shared with you about her on Tuesday. And then they had one on, I think, the spirit. And I don't know who spoke for that one. And then they had the marriage one. And so, of course, being the stage of life that I am, it's like, of course, I'm going to attend the marriage one. I'm currently not in ministry. I have no desire to be in ministry at this point in my life. And so the marriage one is a perfect fit. So Robin spoke at this session as well, which I was really excited about. And she came prepared. 40 years of marriage to back up everything she said. Here's what I enjoyed, and you'll kind of see this as I share with you what she talked to us about. Everything was very simple, which was perfect. I felt like simple was what I needed at this ladies' conference. I wanted to be encouraged, I wanted to grow, but I just needed it to be simple for the sake of my brain capacity at this point in my life. So it was nice that everything was very simple. This is motherhood, recording a podcast and holding your fussy baby. So she kept everything so simple, which was so nice because it was encouraging. I could take it in and I could be encouraged on my level of where I was at on that day. She was also funny, which helps too. And I think it helped cut the tension when you're talking about something like marriage. There are some things that you want to say that may be a little more serious or things you do want people to think about. So, here is my handy dandy notebook. Okay, sorry, trying to collect my thoughts here. So the theme of her session was keeping your marriage happily ever after, which that was super cute. So the first thing she said, she gave us 7 points. Here's the other thing I loved about her. She is the kind of speaker who over-prepares. She was prepared to talk for 2 hours if she had been given the 2-hour time frame. But the way that she presented was so effortless that she presented for 30 minutes. The split session was only 30 minutes long. She presented for 30 minutes, and I felt like I had listened to her for 2 hours and just gleaned knowledge. So even in a short amount of time, you felt filled. You felt encouraged, which was really nice. So the first thing she said, love him the way God loves him. I loved this. I loved this. I love my husband, okay? This is just me being honest, so hear me out. My husband is a very difficult person to love. My husband and I have very similar personalities. We're both very strong-willed. We're both oldest children. And we are very, very type A. If we are asked to do something or accomplish a task, we have higher expectations for ourselves when it comes to completing that task than anybody else does. Therefore, we will bend over backwards to complete the task and have it meet our levels of perfection. And if it doesn't, we spend the rest of the day whining and complaining about how it didn't meet our expectations. So sometimes my husband can be a very difficult person to love. It's not that I don't love him. It's just that there are certainly times where I do not like him. I joke about that quite frequently. I love you, but I do not like you today. My husband is also very loud. You know my husband, you'll get a good laugh out of that. We joke that we can hear him wherever he is in the house, no matter the time of day, because you can hear his footsteps. He's very heavy-footed. But I love that she talked about the Bible tells husbands to love your wife like Christ loved the church. And I think sometimes that might be a little bit difficult for them to wrap their minds around. But for someone to tell me, you need to love your husband the way that God loves him, oh girl, because here's what that means. God shows your husband grace on a daily basis. God forgives him every time he makes a mistake. God doesn't hold a grudge against him. All the times that your husband has forgotten God or turned his back on God. She talked about how How does God love? God demonstrates his love, and the Bible says that clear as day. God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God literally shows us in the Bible and on a daily basis what love is and how he loves us. So much that he sacrificed his only son for us. Wow, am I willing to do that? Am I willing to sacrifice myself daily for my husband to love him the way that God loves him? I loved this. This was probably my favorite point, so I have the most notes on this one. She talked about Psalm 107:2, and she did give the disclaimer that she was taking this a little bit out of context, but she was talking about how the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And she talked about, don't take everything so intently. Sometimes men don't have the same filters that women do, so they can say something or do something and not quite understand the implications of what they just said or did. And she said there are so many times in her marriage where she has had to learn to just shrug her shoulders and say, so? So what that he ate with the wrong fork at a formal event? So what that he said this thing to me and didn't realize that it was hurtful? She said, sometimes you have to. You can't take things so intently. And I'll get to this later on at a point that she talked about. But you also need to learn to communicate better with your spouse to communicate to them when those things happen. Okay, sorry, I had to pause for a brief child interruption. Okay, that was her first point. She said some other things under her first point that I didn't necessarily agree with, so I'm going to wait to talk about those for a later date. Number two, she said pray together. She talked about how prayer can help cement you in the chaos, and I liked that kind of visualization. And she did address the fact that when you're younger, married, at any point, when you start praying together, it's incredibly awkward. And it is, I can attest to that. It's very uncomfortable and very awkward to pray with your spouse. But she talked about how simple she and her husband have made praying together. And all it is just in the morning, they hug each other, they say a quick prayer, and they move on. It's nothing elaborate. It's nothing crazy or insane. It's just something now that they naturally do every day. Number three, she said, forgive instantly. I think this is the hardest one for me, but because I have personal convictions on what I believe the Bible says about forgiveness. I do believe that a person has to ask for forgiveness to truly get forgiveness, but I think that there's also a part of forgiveness that can take place in our heart before someone asks or if they never ask, because we're human and we need to be able to move on from things. We can't just absorb ourselves in a situation and meditate on it forever. Sorry, my child is being so noisy to me. Even my lollipop camera says she's being too loud. And she talked about Colossians 3:13. And then number four was apologize quickly. And the thing that she said about this is she said, you know, when you're angry at your husband, you know, the Bible says anger is not a bad thing, but the Bible says be angry and sin not. So she talked about when you're angry or you're doing things and you get into a fight with your spouse, she said your intention should never be to hurt him. And she said women kind of have this petty bone in our body where we just want to go after them and be like, oh, you did that? Okay, cool. I'm gonna do this. I'm not gonna do this or this or this. Now, have I done that? Yes. There was a point in our marriage, it still happens, where my husband does not put his clean laundry away and it drives me absolutely bonkers. And so there was a period where I absolutely just refused to wash his laundry because I was not gonna add more work onto myself than I could already take on. Was that petty? Yeah, probably. Did it make a point? It did for a little bit. Did it hurt him? No, it did not. Now, if I was to say, oh, you're not gonna do your laundry? Oh, you're not gonna do this or that around the house? Cool. I'm gonna go be petty and I'm going to publicly broadcast it on a spouse page that my husband doesn't do this or that or the other thing. Now that would be petty and that would be hurtful. That would be me setting out to get other women to agree with me and say, your husband sounds awful. And if you live in a military community, you know exactly what I'm saying when I say that these women will go after men like sharks in water. And they are like, you need to leave him. Da 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 da. It's because they don't know how to communicate. Which was the next point. She said, not having good communication is not spiritual. God communicates with us through his word, and he is very clear in his communication of what his expectations are, how he wants us to live, how he loves us. And she said, your communication should be just as clear as that. And she talked about how sometimes, she said, you know, women are notorious for the whole, your husband asks you what's wrong, and you say, oh, nothing. She said, stop doing that. And she said, you just need to learn how to word what you're saying differently. So the one thing that she recommended is when you, you know, you're in that situation, your husband says, what's wrong? Don't say nothing. Say, well, I know it shouldn't bother me, but, and then continue. And I was like, that's genius. I wrote it down. I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna try it from now on. And she said, sometimes we also need to speak the truth in love. She said, sometimes you need to say the hard thing, and it is okay to say the hard thing and make sure that they know. I'm not saying this because I'm angry at you. I am speaking the truth in love. And I think I need to preface what I say more with that. She also talked about the whole, your husband works all day. He comes home, he just wants to check out and go upstairs, and then he gets frustrated with you and you want to do family things. That happens a lot in our house, a lot more than I would like to say. And she talked about emphasize to them that your heart is that you love them and you just want to be with them. Number five was don't go to bed angry. This was something my parents actually emphasized to us when we were growing up, that my grandfather told my father and that he took into his marriage. And then number six was build, build, build. She talked about don't pick at him, build him up. She talked about how we need to be constantly edifying and building up our husbands. And I can't remember if it was this session or the next one. I think it was the next one. But I'll give you a little sneak peek. She talked about if you have a problem with your husband, be careful who you go and talk to. And one woman said, I don't ever go to my own mother because my mom will side with me. And she said, I go and I call his mom when I have a problem with him because his mom can forgive him quicker than anybody. And I think that there is a good balance between speaking the truth in love and picking at him. And you just have to learn what that is. I know that I have to learn what it is. That's very much the stage of life that I'm in, is learning the balance of those things. And then number seven, she talked about renewing your vows. And this is the one that I liked the most, just the visual representation of it. She talked about when you're married, the two become one. And in the Bible, it's very, very clear that what that is the union of two people in the consummation of marriage. And I'm gonna use selective language in this because in case you're listening to this with kids around, but you'll pick up what I'm putting down. Every time you consummate your marriage or are intimate with your spouse, you are renewing your vows. And I loved that picture that our vows are the two shall become one. And that's the concept that Jesus has given us. Addison, no. Sorry, having that extra parent today. And so she talked about that, and I really liked that picture. And unfortunately, that was where she had to end her session, so she had to cut it off pretty abruptly. I think I would have loved to hear what she had to say after that, what her other points following that one were. I think it would have gone a little bit deeper. But yeah. So those were her 7 points. Love him the way God loves him. Pray together. Forgive instantly. Apologize quickly. Don't go to bed angry. Build him up and renew your vows. And I loved it. It was so simple and to the point and just very, very cut and dry. So this is where I'm going to end because my children are on a different level today. As you can hear, the day is going great. My 3-year-old is just bipolar state. So that's where I'm gonna end today. I will come back tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm gonna talk about the final session. I'm gonna skip over the Q&A and talk about the final session tomorrow. And then next week I'm gonna talk about the Q&A because I wanna break down each of these questions into a topic. So I'm super excited to share all this with you. Thank you guys for joining. Sorry the podcast was a little bit later in coming today. It was a little bit of a chaotic morning. But I hope you guys have a great rest of your Thursday, and I'll catch y'all tomorrow.